on that text that I'm basing my meditation. And if I quit reading, then you just chime in and carry it on, okay? From Philippians, the second chapter. If then there is any encouragement, it's your turn. Any consolation from
love.
Any sharing in the
Spirit.
Any compassion and do it that once again. Be of the same
mind.
Having the same
love.
Being in full
Lord.
And of one let each of you look not to your own interests, who though he was in the form of God, but emptied himself, being born in human likeness, even death on a cross. Let us sing the short little hymn before the sermon. The first time we will sing it with accompaniment. The second time we will sing it a cappella. Listen to my children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to my children praying. Send us love, send us power. Listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. To the church at Philippi, the pastor who is no longer there, he's traveling elsewhere, the Apostle Paul writes a letter to them and says, make my joy complete. These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. A week ago, with 4 seconds left on the clock, the nationally unranked Iowa Hawkeyes was on the verge of a major upset against Penn State, ranked number 4 nationally. It was a classic, a biblical counterpart. Little David versus Mammoth Goliath. It was fourth down. Penn State was on the Iowa 7-yard line. There was time for one final play. And I was pulling hard for my Hawks. I like to win. It's in my DNA. We all have a streak of that in us, don't we? And I love it when my favorite football team, the Iowa Hawkeyes, win. But they didn't. They didn't. The last play of the game, a 7-yard pass completion into the end zone, and the game ended unlike the biblical David-Goliath matchup. And the Nittany Lions ducked the slung stone of the Hawks. Or in more contemporary slang, they dodged a bullet. Today, I feel like Penn State's quarterback of a week ago. With time running out, there's barely time for one last shot into the end zone with you guys, and with you guys on the radio. One last shot I have before time runs out. So today my dream is to get into the end zone. I want more than ever before today, my last Sunday with you, to say the right things and for you to hear the right things. I don't want to end up on the 1-yard line with no time left on the clock, fumbling my last opportunity to stand in this pulpit as your pastor. I want this final play. I don't think it's gonna, but I want this final play to go down in the record book as a win for all of us. Notice what I've been saying and how I've been saying it. It's runaway human nature. Everything starting with an I. The focus has been on me. What I want and what I don't want. It's difficult to avoid the I statements, the me stuff, like, I'm just about out of time. I'm calling the play. As we gather this morning, I've broken huddle. I'm over center. I'm watching the time clock. I want to get into the end zone, and I don't want to fumble. See how easy? A guy can get stuck on me. On the I wants and the I want nots. Now I'm trying to figure out how to begin this sermon. Haven't begun it yet. And I'm already in the page 3. Haven't even gotten started. At this rate, my final sermon is going to be a long one. It's Monday afternoon as I write. I'm a bit tired. I just returned from a wonderful time on the water. There's going to be halibut to take home for the winter. But Sunday's coming. And a biblical text that I've got to wrestle with and figure out what needs to be said and how to say it. Reality strikes. The umpire has blown his whistle for play to begin. The ball is hiked. I have the leather in my hand. My fingers are upon the laces. The final play remains. And here I sit, trying still to figure out what I'm going to do on Sunday, with fish smell still on my hands, trying to figure it out what to say and how to say it. The temptation I face is to make next Sunday about me. For after all, it's an ending. Hey, 54 years with a turned around collar. Retirement, which I'll try for the fourth time. No more Monday morning sermon writing challenges loom in my tomorrows. That's over. Like today, late afternoon, after a trip on Frederick Sound, I've got to admit, I'm a little bit scared what it's going to be like. I knew this day would someday come. Not sprung upon me as a surprise. And so I've prayed and asked God to help me that when that day came, that somehow I'd be able to make it not about me, but about Jesus. To make it about Jesus, who emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, humbly becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Having said that I don't want it to be about me, but about Jesus, it may sound a bit selfish of me, but I'm going to ask you to do something very special for me today. And if it's selfish, so be it. And it's not. What I'm going to ask you to do is not an original idea with me. I got it from the Apostle Paul, who was sitting off in some far-off place writing a letter to his church in Philippi, in which he says to them, "Make my joy complete." As I leave this place, that is exactly what I also want. Like Paul, I say to you, make my joy complete. And if it's a want, then so be it. I don't care. I want so much for this church, our church, this church that Mary Ann and I came to know and love and are now physically leaving, to be what the Apostle Paul wanted his people to be in Philippi, to be of the same mind, Paul wrote, to be in full accord, Paul wrote, to have the same mind as Jesus. That was Paul's wish for his people and mine. Not zeroed in on their own interests, Paul says, but focused upon the interests of others. That's my wish. That's the way you can make my joy complete, by being the things that Paul wanted his church in Philippi to be. And that's what you've been. And that's who you are. Just like we did the last couple of weeks, when hurricane, flood, earthquake, and fire destroyed both life and property, what did you do? You responded with nearly $4,000 for the Lutheran Disaster Fund, because that's who you have been and who you are. This is our history, Petersburg Lutheran Church. This is our history. You know that you are a blessed people who generously look to the interests of others. This is our history. This is who we are. We understand our calling to be like Jesus. It simply can't be just about us. But it must be about Jesus, who calls us to go beyond ourselves into a lifestyle like his, who took the form of a servant. That's what the scripture says. Calling us to be of the same mind. Calling us to be a servant like he was a servant. With the Holy Spirit stirring us, prompting us, leading us. The clock's running. The end zone is in sight. The ball is in our hand. The invitation is written, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and laden, and I will give you rest." Child of God, continue your focus of being servants. Accepting God's invitation to his grace, calling our forerunners into servanthood. Take a look around. We see their names written on the stained glass windows that surround where we are sitting. We see the names of those who cared not only for themselves, but for others, and left this place for us to continue to be the servants they were. This is our history. This is who we are. The football, a symbol for servanthood, no longer lies motionless on the line of scrimmage. The football is no longer in the center's hands, ready to be hiked. But it's airborne, and God's Spirit is guiding it, servanthood, into our hands, inviting us to accept his grace and his call to be a servant. To look not only to our interests, but to the interests of others. It's not about us. It wasn't about them. And it ought not be about us. It's about Jesus. Paul says to his church, "Make my joy complete." And that's what I'm asking of you to do for me. I say to my church, it's not mine, you know that. But I say to you, my church, you guys make my joy complete by looking not only to yourselves, but to the interests of others. Be servants. Continue to be what you are. That's my wish. That's my prayer. That's my sermon today. That at Petersburg Lutheran Church, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in so doing, like the Apostle Paul, this in-between pastor and his wife will be leaving this place, having had our joy made complete. As you prepare to huddle up with your new quarterback, Jesus loves me.
Child, come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died. Open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He close beside me all the way. When at last I come to die, he will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.